One time I told Joe and Gabby, and I felt like that during worship today. Sometimes I just close my eyes and very visual, like, of seeing things when I'm hearing music and when people tell me stories. I can't tell stories, but I can see them if you tell me. And sometimes I feel like I can see us, all of us, like in a like triangle before God's throne. And up at the top of the triangle are Joe and Gabby leading us to God's throne in worship as we're kneeling, you know, or leaning over just worshiping and loving him. Kind of felt like that this morning during the worship that we had. I'm very grateful for Joe and Gabby. If you don't know them, they're brother and sister. I love that their harmonies are so pretty together. And I'm thankful for, of course, the musicians and the people up in, I call it the crow's nest, they're up top, because they're part of the reason why we can come before the throne and worship like that too. So I just want to say just a little quick prayer so I can center myself a little bit. So God, my Father, our Father, you're holy in heaven. Your name is holy. May everything that I say today honor you. And God, give us ears to hear, hearts that are not hard but are wide open to hear about who you are and why we should be like you. So God, I ask that you manifest your presence within among us today in a way that's tangible, that we can feel you, that we can see what's being said, and that these words that are spoken today go home and pour over onto our families, our friends, our coworkers. May we honor and love you fully today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's a little, I'll say sappy. Sorry, I'm totally not like Nick. He's like a really good pastor, which is why I'm the associate pastor of discipleship, which is teaching and everything. It's more like what I do, and I can get kind of goofy and everything. And I love kids. That's probably where some of the goofiness comes in and stuff, because they're fun to be with. And not as nerve-wracking. They don't stare at me like you guys do. So I'm honored to be able to stand here and speak to you today. Pastor Nick and Sarah are moving. They're not moving very far. They're staying in Madison. But they've been packing up, and they've been busy with that. And sermons take a long time. And so I'm honored to be able to give Pastor Nick a little bit of time off by speaking to you today. So earlier in the week, Brian, who runs the soundboard, he also is on the counting team. So I really enjoyed my time with him. And Laura had said something to me about, she's told me, I really like hearing you laugh. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's only with me when I'm in that super serious mode. She isn't. I love to laugh. I do, but that kind of woke me up of, I need to not be so super serious all the time. Of course, now when I need to be super serious, I'm not. But if you wonder why this red stapler is up here, I put this here because this is a source of humor for Brian and me. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But when I was a kid, I would never have dreamed I would ever be up here talking in front of anybody. I actually had a teacher once yell at me, that, you know, I'm going to date myself with some of the things because they would never do that kind of thing now, yell at me that he knew I could answer the question in class with a regular voice because he could hear me outside on the playground yelling at my friends all the way across. But when he would ask me to answer a question, it was like my throat would tighten up and I'd stop. Like this. And that was rough. The teacher was very aggressive. I mean, lovable too, but scary. And one time at lunch, we were sitting on these rows of tables, and I was sitting with friends, and we were having a good time laughing. And the guys next to us, they were kind of not good guys. They were kind of mean. It was 12 or 11. I was in sixth grade. And the teacher was walking up, and somebody smarted off to him there. I don't know what they said. And right as that happened, my table, I erupted in laughter. And if you've heard me laugh when I get tickled, it can be pretty loud. Well, he thought that I was laughing because of what had been said to him, and I was making fun of him. And he jerked the chair out with me in it from the table, grabbed my arm, pulled me up, and pushed me towards the classroom and said, "I'll see you when lunch is over." And this teacher was very well known for paddling. And paddling, it's scary to get paddled, but you've got all the embarrassment and everything, the shame and everything that goes with it too. So I walked in the classroom by myself. I was totally alone and scared, to say the least. And plus, if I did get paddled and then I got home, I would really be in trouble then. I would be in so much trouble. And this is really going to date things now. I went over to where we hung our coats up and pulled a Bible off the rack because I knew I needed God to get me through this. And memorized one of my first scriptures I ever memorized. First one was John 3:16. My mother taught me that very young. But my 11-year-old self, terrified, in about 10 minutes, memorized the Psalm 23. I can't remember if I went to look for it specifically or if I just opened up the Bible to look for something, read that, and I just kept reading it over and over. And the Psalm is beautiful. It's written in two parts. It's something I just recently noticed. I just always appreciate the flow of it. But at the beginning, it talks about what God does for me or for you, for us, and how he takes care of us. And then the second part of the psalm, it kind of morphs in from who God is to you are, and it becomes a prayer of how he takes care of us, he loves us. So I practiced it with Brian, and he said I got it right, but I'm so nervous right now. I'm going to knock the ear thing off and everything. So I'm going to try to say it. Of course, I don't have a Bible here to back me up. I forgot that, too. Forgot everything. My head's here, though, so we're doing good. Okay. Brian, be praying for me during this, okay? Now, mind you, this is King James Version because I don't know. It's so hard for me because that's how I learned it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me along the still waters. Oh, now I'm going to forget it. He restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. I can hear you. I know. I'm just envisioning it. I'm sorry. It's like a moment of worship. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Pastor Nick's been taking us through this series of Disciples' Path, and my section today is how to be like him. So if we could go to the first slide, Junior. And discipleship, we've seen or heard from Pastor Nick how I am with Jesus to learn from Jesus, how to be like Jesus, and teach others to do the same. If you haven't written that down, jot it down on a piece of paper. We do have little cards out there that Pastor Nick had given out. If you need one of those, yeah, you can see me. I'll be outside or around at the end of service, and I can get that to you to put it on your refrigerator or wherever so you can remember. But as I had the Lord's Prayer on my heart, and I knew the next time Pastor Nick asked me to speak, I want not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. And when he asked me to speak, and he said it would be this, I thought, I think that kind of fits. And it's going to seem like we're going kind of like a path like this, but I promise if you stick with me, we'll get there. But for this how to be like Jesus, what's been hitting my heart is that before we can be like Jesus, we have to learn from Jesus by being with Jesus. And before we can even be with Jesus, we have to be following him. Make a choice to follow him. So I felt in my heart to speak today to people who haven't yet made that choice to follow, or maybe they're not sure how to follow, though they want to follow, and they say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And maybe they aren't sure how much, if they're with him enough or learning. Maybe we need to know how to be like him, but who is he? I mean, I've been here, they talk about Jesus, and they say these things, but who is he? I mean, I can name what Pastor Nick said, like, in my head. Are they thinking? Are you thinking? But I don't know him. Not in this personal relationship that everybody says. And do I want to follow him? Why is he so good? I don't understand. I just have all of these thoughts of what someone might be thinking or saying. And if you ask me who Jesus is, I'll tell you. If you ever sat me down, take a nice big chunk of time, because I'm going to totally geek out on you, starting with how God reached down through Jesus to us so that we could learn to be like him and be with him forever. But also, I'm going to talk to you, and I hate that I don't have a Bible up here. I love holding God's scripture. That is his word that talks to us now. He left a big love letter with us. I could talk your ears off about that. If you wonder, where did the Bible come from? How did we get it? I know all of those things because I had all of those questions. I'm curious. I'm a total information junkie. And when it's something that I love and that I like, I study and study and study. So I could just totally geek out on you with that. But to preach a sermon on a single Sunday, how to be like Jesus, how do I do that? Where do I begin? So I went with, why should we even follow him and why do we care what he's like? Why does it matter? So I'm going to start back a few days ago in Bible study. We started in the book of Hebrews. And our memory verse, I'm only going to do half of it, and I'm cheating a little bit because it's here on the paper. And as you saw with the first thing, I get stage fright and I forget, my mind goes blank. But in Hebrews 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things through the power of his powerful word. We talked about in class the radiance of God's glory specifically, and how we learned from Pastor Nick how that when he preached about the tabernacle in Exodus and how God's glory came to the tabernacle, and it was his manifested glory, and how that's called a word that we use is Shekinah, and it's defined as a visible manifestation of the divine presence or the glory of God. We see earlier in Exodus 13, as Moses is bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, we see that manifested presence, divine presence of the glory of God in the pillar. Thank you. In the pillar of cloud by day that they followed, and the pillar of fire by night. We see in Exodus 40 where I just speak that God dwells in his tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. And then we see in 1 Kings 8, he dwells in the temple, and that's Solomon's temple that was built. And as it was completed, God's Shekinah, his visible manifestation of the divine presence of the glory of God, came to dwell in the temple. So when you think about this, Hebrews 1:3 describes Jesus. He's the Shekinah of God. He is the visible manifestation of the divine presence of the glory of God in human flesh. This time it's not a pillar of cloud or fire to guide us by day and by night, but God came to us in a visible manifestation of the divine presence in human flesh, and we call him Jesus. He walked among us. He was one of us. He left his throne on high to come to us, to be with us, so that we could be with him. He is with us to show us how to be like him. I can't imagine. I think of all the other world religions. I don't know, and I did study those in college, so when I don't know, say I don't know, I'm not just, you know, speaking flippantly or anything. I took religious studies courses, but there is not another religion whose God that they claim is a God stepped down from heaven to become a lowly servant, to live among the people, solely because he loved them so much that he wanted to restore that relationship that had been broken by sin, and then gave his life up. You will not find a religion that does that. Sure, you will find like Hinduism and Buddhism, especially peace and all of this, but there is no one that can give you peace beyond God himself. The true peace that we look for, you know, we have that internal peace that we want to settle of our spirit, but that's temporary. The true peace that we want is a reconciliation between us and God so that we can be with him forever. That is truly what we want, and no other God on this planet that anyone has ever worshipped has done that for his people, nor would they, because they can't, because they are not the God of the universe who created everything. In Colossians 2:9, I'm so excited to tell you this about Colossians. I have loved this verse for such a long time. It says, in Christ, the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That is the Shekinah of God, the manifestation in the flesh that we call Jesus. And so, and again, I'm so excited, it just blows my mind about everything of who God is, what he's done for us, what he means for you and me. And just to tell you a little bit more of Jesus, in John 1:1-4 and 14, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Shekinah literally means dwelling, the manifestation of the presence. It dwells with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the Shekinah of God, the Creator, as you see in verse 3, through him all things were made. The Creator, the Sustainer of all things, chose not to leave us in the mess of sin that we've found ourselves in. He chose not to leave us, but instead he came to give us hope and a future. And just think about it. He didn't have to come. He holds everything, figuratively speaking, in the palm of his hand. He sustains everything through his will alone. All he had to do was not will anymore. Poof, it's gone. Did he have to come and rescue us? No, he could have left us there in that pit. He didn't have to rescue us like that song we sang. He could have left us right there. Would we have known the difference? No, we wouldn't have known. He didn't have to do any of that. It has been a struggle because of my own family life growing up, never hearing I love you, and I know that that's probably common for other people born in the 70s and everything, but I not only did I not hear I love you, but I got a lot of actions that said I hate you and I wish you were never around, and you annoy me, get out of my way. I had older brothers, parents. It wasn't a good situation, and it took me a long time to understand why. And to feel it here, not just know it here, but to feel it. Why did he leave and come? And I thought, okay, because when I look at you, I can accept it. I know he loves you. I look at all of you and I can feel that love that he has for you. I know what he did for you, and I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, the depth of my soul, with all truth, that he came for you to rescue you. But gosh, it's hard to think about that for me sometimes. I don't know If you ever feel that way, you're not alone if you do. But Jesus, he came to give his life as a ransom for our sin so that we could be with him forever. Mark 10:45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then Jesus, well, those are Jesus' words from Mark, but Jesus also is quoted in John 10:14-15 as saying, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. The sheep knows his voice. He protects them. He lays his life down for the sheep. We are the sheep. We are those sheep. In Hebrews 13:20, I don't think I have a slide for that, Junior, so don't worry about that. But Jesus is described as the great shepherd of the sheep. And it kind of goes back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But when you think about God, this God who created the universe, think about how big and vast it is. The millions, billions of stars, the galaxies, the planets, and then narrow that down to us on Earth, how tiny, and then think of how we are on there. This mighty, big God, why would he want me? So it's a little intimidating and surreal to think that I matter. Do you feel that way? Have you ever felt that way? How could someone such as this love me? I mean, I get it, if you've ever thought that way. I get it. I've been in there in that place. That's where this red stapler comes in. and this is a terrible movie. I'm not going to go into it. There's a movie from the 90s, and almost 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago, that it came out. And it was called Office Space. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they were trying to get rid of this one employee, but they didn't ever tell him you're fired because they didn't want to have to pay severance pay or anything like that. So they kept moving him out from the office. They move him someplace else. They'd forget to invite him to the parties. They would eat all of the cake for somebody's birthday. He got none of it. He was left out all the time, and he's always grumbling to himself. Brian, I should have had you grumble for everybody. That's when I start laughing, when I'm with Brian, because he can do the voices, and he talks about burning the whole place down, but we're not going to do that in here. But he feels so left out, and eventually, through the movie, he's in the deepest, darkest place of the dungeon, away from everybody, forgotten. And I felt like that. And thankfully, I know who's got me. I know I'm not forgotten. Even if all of you, every single one of you, my husband, my kids, family, forgot me and placed me in a dungeon, it wouldn't matter. I would have my red stapler to remind me that I'm not alone. My red stapler reminds me that it doesn't matter how much I've been pushed out or left out. It's funny because sometimes it's here at church, it feels like it happens. But that's a lie of the enemy trying to get you or pull you away from God. Don't ever believe that. But I actually did once, and felt like I'd been left behind. I wasn't wanted, so I bought the red stapler to make a joke out of it. But now instead it's become a symbol of my freedom in Jesus. But there was a time in high school too, I remember going to parties, and I would leave the party and go stand outside the group, not like literally outside or whatever. But I would look and I would enjoy watching everybody have a good time, but I didn't fit in. At least I didn't feel like I fit in. I wanted to go be with them, but I wanted to be invisible because I didn't feel like I was good enough. I didn't feel like they wanted me, Why would you want me there? And these are people. Imagine thinking of myself with an almighty God, how hard that would be. Does he know my cares and my needs? Why would he care about me? Why would he bother with me? I'm not worthy. I'm not worth it. Am I enough? This one's my favorite because I was told this over and over as a child, but it was about my friends. But I think it sometimes, if God really knew me, he wouldn't want me. I have nothing to offer. I'm broken. But guess what? We're all broken. It's not just me. We're all worthy. Individually, we're worthy. When we feel those things, those are lies. There is nothing in Scripture, God's holy word, his love letter to us, that says you are not enough, that says you are not wanted. If anything, this tells us how much we are wanted and the price that had to be paid to bring us back to him. If you ever have those thoughts, those are lies. Get yourself in worship music and put your, like the picture up on the screen, put Jesus right in front of you. Worship him, because where the light is and the name of Jesus is spoken, the darkness will flee. Not a lost cause. So what does Jesus say about the lost? He has a final word on what the lost cause is, right? And see in Matthew 18, 12 through 24, Jesus tells us this parable. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my Heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Jesus came for the lost. If you feel lost, that means he came for you. You are the one. The one. You are the one. He doesn't say the many, like I'd said earlier, when I could see that God loves you all, but I don't feel like I'm worthy. That makes me the one. That's the truth. You are the one he came to save. He came here for you. So if you're here listening to what I'm saying about the Great Shepherd, that means that you needed to hear this message, because he's looking for you and he's calling you to follow him. You have a choice to make. Are you going to follow him? The great God of the universe, who loves you so much that he left his throne in heaven and took on, put all of that Shekinah, that manifestation of his essence, his divine essence, in a human flesh. I mean, come on. He did that for you. He died for you. He's calling you. There are going to be so many things in this world that are going to beckon you to wander off and leave him. But I implore you, stay with him. Don't just be with him. Stay with him. Stay with him through quiet time, prayer, worship. Stay with him. Build on being with him, staying with him, by learning from him, reading your scripture, reading this love letter. If it doesn't make sense to you, we have classes for that. We have Wednesdays. I will sit with you. If you have any questions, I'm so happy to do that. But you got to put me on a time limit, because I'll tell you everything about this. But I will tell you what it means. There's so many people to help you, to disciple you along the way. Build on being with him. Stay with him. Don't miss a Sunday. I mean, I know we have vacations and things, but though, or you're sick, or, you know, other things, but make Sunday a priority for worship. We are in community here together. I just had, I don't think she's, I don't think she's here today. Her name's Joan. She's newer here. She's one of, Hootie invited her to church from a McDonald's playland when the grandkids were playing together. And Joan's been coming, and she's faithful to come on Wednesdays. And she told me that she never realized why you needed to be at church every week and what the point of the church was. She thought you just come, listen, leave. That's how she was taught growing up. It doesn't stay with you through the week. But she said since coming here, she's learned what it means to have community, to have support, to have someone teach you those things you don't know about Scripture. She told me, it's just been about a month ago now, she said, I get it now. I see it. She came not knowing a lot about Scripture, and I was able to sit with her and find out where she was and then provide her with something to help her catch up so that she, when she listens to pastors' sermons, she knows who all these people are that are being discussed. She doesn't feel behind anymore. Can do the same thing for you. Come to Bible study with others in the flock. I call us the flock because of our great shepherd. We're his sheep. Don't wander off. Stay. Turn around and look at each other. If you're in the front, turn around. If you're in the back, just keep looking forward. Or look side to side. See all of these people? They are not scary people. They are just like you. There is no one here that is greater, no one here that is less. We are loved the same. We were bought with the same blood. There are going to be times when, like, I look like I'm in a bad mood or something because I'm super serious thinking about something. I'm not in a bad mood unless I'm, you know, during the week with Pastor Nick. Then I probably am in a bad mood because he said something. But I have a Nerf gun that I can shoot him with across the, probably shouldn't say that, but I've only used it a couple times. But these people that you are here with, this is your support system. Jesus provided for us to have a support system by establishing this church. So be here, learn to be with him, and learn how to stay with him by coming to our times of worship on Sunday, on Wednesdays. Come be with each other. So how do we be like him? How do we become like him? The longer we spend with him and learn from him, the more we are transformed into disciples who bear the fruit of the Spirit. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to repent, to turn from our sins and turn to Jesus and follow him, being obedient to what he tells us, because that's how we learn. And when we repent and we follow Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God sends Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit works in us, stays with us to change us. Not like that, but working, he works in concert with us to give us the strength, the desire to work together, to follow Jesus, to do what needs to be done, to do those hard things. And as he works and we grow, and this is like over the span of your lifetime. I don't mean that it's going to happen like this if you aren't getting them all. It's not a checklist. It's a lifestyle. And some things will come and some will go depending on where you are and what stage of your life. But no matter what, he is with you always and will never leave you or forsake you. When he works in us, he produces the fruit of the Spirit through us. So that fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these things, these are the characteristics and nature of Jesus. This is who we want to become like. This man, this God, man, together, He is love. He is peace. He is patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, the epitome of self-control. Why would you not want to be like him? That's everything we want as humans, all of those qualities. That is the nature of Jesus. And Jesus came here to show us who God is. That is who our God is. He is those things. He is worthy of being followed. He is worthy of spending time with, of purposefully carving out time to spend with him. He is worthy to learn from, and he is certainly worthy of becoming like him. If you claim him as the one for you, he will give you all of those things. Like I said, it won't be, well, I guess with some people it could be like that, but more often than not, it's a slow process, especially when our own self-will gets in the way. Might take a little bit longer. So I come back to Psalm 23. The primary way that this passage that I read you communicates the good news of Jesus is that it shows you who Jesus is as a leader who's worth following, what his leading style is. His compassionate care, concern, and protection of those who choose to be with him and learn from him. There's a reason we follow Jesus, and that's laid out in Psalm 23. Before we can learn to be like him, or for some even begin to follow him, we first need to believe that he loves us, that we are wanted, that we belong, and that we are safe with him, and I'm telling you that you are. And if you can claim him as the one for you, you can, like sixth grade, 11-year-old me, and from that time all the way through my life until now, you can forever proclaim Psalm 23 as the truth. So I'd like us to read this together. I'll lead us. If you can follow me through reading this, I hope it's big enough for you to see. I was nice and did not put King James up for you to read. But make this. Can you say these words and proclaim Psalm 23 as your truth? Say it out loud. Let those who don't know him hear you. Make it sound believable. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That, my friends, is someone who is worth following. Will you answer his call to follow him? And this is for all of us. I can tell you firsthand, before we came here to North Star, and God blessed us with our pastor. I was in a church that did not teach discipleship, did not preach what it meant to be a disciple. And I was in that church from 2013 for how many years? Till 2022 when we moved here. And then before that, I was at a church and for 9 years, and I was not taught what a disciple meant. Why it was important to be a disciple, that it was important to be in Bible study. I've been at churches that didn't offer Bible studies. They would offer book studies, and it would be some author who wrote their ideas and opinions in a book and would use scripture to back it up. There were no Bible studies. I had not been in a Bible study from scripture since my husband and I lived in Painesville before we have children. That's the last time I'd been. How many here have been in churches that weren't using the Bible in their Bible study, but it was book studies? Yeah. So whether you're new or you are a Christian 25 years, are you a disciple? Will you answer the call to follow him? But I'm not asking you to be a Christian. I'm asking you, will you be his disciple? Will you carve out time to be with him, to learn from him how to be like him, so that you can teach others to do the same? I learned at a discipleship conference I went to with Hootie back in February that the gospel doesn't come to us. The gospel is meant to come through us. Don't be what stops the gospel message. Be with him, stay with him, learn from him how to be like him. And by being like him, you will naturally teach others how to do the same. And they will want to know who your Jesus is. There's a song that I keep thinking as I'm going over this. And it says, "Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes the way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life." How many here, raise your hands. I'm going to ask you, raise your hand. If Jesus has changed your life. Thank you. So if you haven't followed him or made that decision, let him change your life. But you have to be willing to change it. And that part, that's on you. That's your free will. Our God loves us so much. He lets us be who we want to be. Do you want to be with him? To learn from him how to be like him and teach others to do the same. Worship team, you guys can come back up. Yes. What? Sherry, did I get a whooping that day? I will tell you what. No, I did not. I did not get a whooping that day. He came in, and it was like nothing had ever happened. And I found out from some friends of mine at the table that they told him I was not laughing at him. They stood up for me. Yes. And I have never forgotten that 23rd Psalm. And anytime I'm in trouble, when I'm stressed, that is my go-to. And it reminds me and it centers me of who God is. Yeah, that's God's way. Yeah, whatever it takes, I'm in for the ride because I trust him and I love him. So let me close this in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, Shekinah of God, Holy Spirit, our teacher, our counselor, our guide, God, thank you for every person who is here. Thank you for every person who's not here but wishes they were. Thank you for the people that are still yet to come. God, I pray blessings upon blessings of hearts that are no longer hardened, of eyes that are willing to see, ears that are ready to hear, and calendars that are made free and clear so that we can all stay with you. God, thank you for the blessings you give us day in and day out. Thank you for making us worthy, though we were not. Thank you for saving us so we can be with you, not just here, but forever in your kingdom, Jesus. Amen.